All right, let's go ahead and get started here on our final session as you come on in. Yeah, let me whistle here. This is what it's all about, though. So this is good, good fellowship going on. We're very glad for that. Yep. All right, let's begin with prayer, and we'll jump into our final session here. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity again to come and consider the claims of your word, and we pray that you would help us now as we dive into some practical aspects of that, that you would guide our thoughts, guide our discussion, and Father, that this would be a very helpful thing for us as we go back to normal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Want to apologize for how fast I had to move last time, and I know that was a lot to take in, but I think it was necessary to cover that ground so that we can really delve into some practical stuff here. And again, I realize this is very basic stuff, probably things you've heard all your life, but one thing I'm learning about pastoral ministry, it involves a lot of review. And maybe saying things in a different way from different angles. And we need reminders. We need lots of reminders. So hopefully it's been helpful. This has been really helpful for me to review. I was telling Kelly just recently that there have been a lot of areas I've been slipping in, and I needed to be reminded of these principles, because I think for all of us, it's really easy to fall into the pattern of living life, coming to church on Sunday. You come in, you sit down, you listen, you receive, you sing some songs, and then you go back and go home, and then you repeat the process. And it's just kind of a funk we can get into without really doing what Christ has called us to do. And the Christian life is so much more than that. Maybe you've been searching for a missing part of your Christian walk. I remember back in high school, when I was taking an advanced algebra class, which math is not my subject. I don't know. Maybe we have some math gurus here. But I remember I was really stuck on a series of problems, and they were all the same kind of problem. And so I was just sitting there staring at them for a long time, and I was trying to work on them. I couldn't get anywhere. And finally, the teacher came by, and she gave me one little piece of information. And after that, it all just fell into place. It was like a whole new way to look at it. And maybe that's really what this could be, this key piece of information you've been looking for this weekend. Now, as we get into this, the goal for today, for now, this session, is to give us a little nudge in the right direction. And even if it is basic stuff, hopefully the goal here is not to make you busier, all right? Busy people getting busier. It's to cause us to evaluate and to really see if we're busy about the right things. And earlier this morning, we talked about what I consider to be the crux of discipleship. It's ministering the word in the lives of other people. And so discipleship is helping another person grow in Christ likeness by the prayerful ministry of God's word. But before that can happen, you have to have a relationship that's established, or there's not going to be a platform for that kind of interaction. And that kind of relationship requires sacrifice. So now in our final session, we're going to try to really make this practical. What does discipleship look like in real life? We're going to take these principles. We're going to apply it. We're going to do some work with it, Lord willing. Let me give you four things to consider of how this really comes out into our lives. First of all, every believer, humbly inviting instruction and input from other believers. We have, again, to get over this mindset that discipleship is just something for somebody who is a new Christian. That's unbiblical thinking. Remember, discipleship is not something for new believers, just for new believers. It's all Christians. We need this. None of us will ever arrive. I need instruction and input just as much as somebody who's been saved for just a year or so. And God expects us all to be teachable, and we need to welcome that kind of help. And I would go further and say we need to invite it. Now, that takes a spirit of humility, and that's really the point. In fact, God has a lot to say about that. We could talk about a number of these verses, We have to invite instruction. Don't ignore it. Receive it. Don't exalt yourself. Humble yourself. It's humbling to admit, I need help. He gives grace to the humble. And that's really what God wants. So he wants us to have that spirit of humility and say, I want this input and I invite this input. If we don't have that spirit, the opposite is true. God is going to resist us. And we may be able to put on a good front, but there's really not going to be genuine Christian growth because God resists that. So what does that look like? Prayerfully identify a Christian that you respect and then talk to them. Invite them to interact with you on a regular basis. Say, hey, I'd love to get together and pray together. Can we do that? Can we find a time? Hey, can you keep me accountable? Let's do a weekly or monthly accountability and ask some hard questions. Can we do a Bible study together? Can we just talk periodically about what's going on and ask them to give input in your life? Share your struggles with them. Open up to them. Ask them for help. And God is going to honor that spirit. So I think that's one thing we can say. Discipleship is inviting other believers to have input in your life. Another one, every believer gathering the tools they need to be effective in discipling others. It's a really common response for somebody who maybe is hearing this for the first time or the first time in these terms to say, I don't even know where to start. How can I do this? What do I say? How do I go about this? And that's common. But don't let it keep you from obeying God. Instead, let it drive you toward Him. Specifically, it should drive you to study God's Word more in depth, more in a personal way, to make it yours more effectively. One of the steps we took as a local church was to hold a series of roundtable discussions on people who were really interested in fleshing this out. And we got together and we had different groups who were talking about it. And one common thought that came up in those discussions was, you know, if I'm really going to be effective in discipling others, I need to learn the Word of God more myself. Right? I need to really get this more practical for me. And that's true. We need that. Because when you get involved in somebody's life in a personal way, you're encountering problems with them and trying to help them. You have to know your stuff. You have to know where to take them in Scripture. And that makes you get out of your comfort zone. It's great with counseling. When you're counseling somebody, you have to go and search the Scripture for yourself. And then that in turn challenges you. So it's a mutual sharpening, even in that kind of an interaction. Now, even though Bible knowledge will always be our best preparation and our most effective way to gather tools, there are a lot of other resources that are available as well. In fact, I don't think that there's ever been a time in history in the Christian church where we've had more resources at our disposal. I mean, all kinds. To borrow an illustration from a woodworker in our church, he said he loves working with cabinetry and wood. He said the number one goal in the craft of woodworking is the acquisition of more tools, right? Any guys, we like tools, right? So I mean, that's an excuse to get more tools. Well, we can do that with discipleship. Hey, there's an excuse to get more tools out there, and we can use those tools effectively. Bible study tools, computer programs, study methods, training in theology, evangelism helps, teaching on personal Bible study. I mean, all these different things you can gather and use them, and more are coming out all the time. You ought to be gathering more discipling tools all the time. But maybe you're not comfortable with more of the high-tech stuff, and you're more of a hand tool person, right? Like the European craftsmen, they love the hand tools. That's fine. Use the tools that you have in your hands to develop and to train other people. All right, so the important thing is that you don't lack in experience or knowledge and use that as an excuse. That's no excuse. Maybe you say, I don't feel comfortable. I'm not ready. Well, then get ready, right? Don't use that as an excuse. Don't wait for somebody to offer to help you. Seek help out. Probably there are a lot of people sitting in church pews across the country waiting for somebody to come to them and approach them about helping in something and growing as a Christian. Don't wait. Don't wait. Go to somebody and say, help me get ready to be a disciple-making disciple. All right, here's another one. It looks like every believer committing to invest in the lives of people. And the key word in this sentence is committing. It starts with an intentional commitment. If you're not intentional about this, it's probably not going to happen. You're going to fill up your time with other stuff. I don't know, you probably have seen this illustration where you get a jar and you have all these rocks of different sizes and sand. You've probably seen this. I actually did this once in a service. It was a real mess. I decided not to try it in this time, but you go about and you can put these things in different orders, and you're trying to fit as much as you can in the jar, and really it doesn't fit unless you do it in the right order. So you got to start with the big rocks, then you put the smaller rocks and fill it in, and then you put the sand in and it fills in around the corners, and actually you pour water in it and it fills more in as well. And I did that in this platform. We had water everywhere, and it was great. And I said, so what's the lesson you get from this? And somebody piped up and said, you can always fit more in, right? No, that's not the point. No, the point is, if you don't put the big stuff in first, then you're not going to get it in, right? I would submit to you, discipleship is the big stuff. That's what you put in first. And then around that, you fill in all the other stuff. Because your time is going to get filled up. It doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. Your time will get filled up. And unless you're intentional, it won't get filled up with building relationships and ministering the word of God to other people. Because that gets pushed off. It'll get filled up with other stuff that's not as important. And if you get those things in your jar first, then you won't have time left for discipleship. It takes intentional commitment. I won't rehearse all the verses, but as you read through the Gospels, Kelly mentioned this, you get a sense that Jesus Christ went out of his way to interact with the right people, right? He took a boat over to Gadaris to interact with that man. He stopped at the well in Samaria. He went out of the way where he wasn't normally going to go. He went from town to town. He took a detour north all the way into Gentile territory. Why did he do that? Well, because he was intentionally seeking people out. He said, well, I don't know who the people are that I should really interact with. Well, God does, and he's ready to direct you, and he's put them in your path, and chances are they're already there. You just have to recognize it. But the point is, you don't accidentally go and make disciples. There has to be an intentional commitment, and maybe that's the starting point for you here this weekend. If you haven't made that commitment, then chances are pretty good you haven't been doing much discipling lately, because your time is taken up with other stuff. Really, when we consider this, it is an amazing thing. God himself has called you and me to take part in his glorious work of winning people to Christ and then discipling them into Christ's likeness and to prepare them for eternity. You can do that, but it takes an intentional commitment. To help us think through this and take action, here's a challenge I would like us all to take seriously. Each one of us should be seeking to develop three types of relationships simultaneously. Upward relationship would be somebody mentoring you. Downward relationship would be someone you are mentoring. It could be a new believer or somebody that hasn't grown. And then side-to-side relationships would be like sharpening peer relationships. All right, think of this as a diagram. Now, the downside of this, as we already have said, that it kind of makes us think that somebody's superior to somebody else, okay? I don't know how else to put it. That's not the case, okay? It's we're all in the same boat. We're all sinners growing. But if this idea of somebody that you're mentoring, it's not somebody that you have a superior spirit towards them. It's somebody that you're coming alongside and saying, hey, grow with me. All right, let's walk this road together. Let's help each other, because they're going to sharpen you as well in the process. But with a right understanding, I think this is a challenge that we can all take. And I want to challenge you even to do that now. In fact, I'm going to stop talking here for a few minutes. And in your notes, I want you to pencil in a few names, right? Maybe some names that God has been bringing to mind. Okay, who can I go to ask them to help me grow, to sharpen me? Who can I go to and ask them, hey, do you want to engage in this kind of relationship? All right, I'm gonna let you fill in a few blanks there as we stop here for a moment. The idea here is that you'll be able to go back and do some more praying, do some more considering. Maybe this was affirming to you. I mean, maybe you're saying, hey, I've got relationships already there. I just need to be a little more intentional about it. Or maybe you realize somebody's been discipling me for a while now. I didn't even know it. We had a man in our church who he's a fairly new believer. And as we were studying this, he said, I just realized that guy's been discipling me. I didn't even know that. And now I'm doing it to my sister, right? It's just that kind of an intentional thing that maybe it's undercover discipling. You don't even spell it out. But it's intentional. You're doing it because this is what God wants for me to do. And the funny thing about these relationships is they're fluid. They're always changing. Okay, you may have somebody, for example, that shifts categories, okay? You're mentoring them, and then they grow to the place where all of a sudden this is like a peer relationship. They're challenging you in some areas. Or you may go through a spiritual valley, a hard time in your life, and all of a sudden that peer relationship, they're pulling you up. I mean, it's fluid, and so you're going to have to shift categories and keep updating. But the important thing is you never give up that commitment. I'm going to be a disciple-making disciple. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to give it, continually ministering the word. All right, and here's the one I want you to consider, and that is this. Every believer taking advantage of everyday opportunities. I think Jim Berg put it well. God has placed others around you who need to grow in Christ. Your spouse, your children, your friends, your students, your roommate, your congregation, and so forth. And all believers need to take this challenge. We need to be discipling, exhorting each other, instructing each other, challenging each other, encouraging each other. Whoever you are, all right, male or female, young or old, introvert or extrovert, it doesn't matter. God wants you to become a disciple-making disciple, and he wants you to do it by taking the everyday opportunities that he's put in your path. He has handpicked those for you. You realize that? God has people he wants you to disciple that nobody else can disciple effectively. Now, what happens if you don't take those opportunities? Well, then you're missing that purpose that God has given you. And God wants you to connect with people that nobody else can connect with. I tell our church folks this all the time. There are people you're going to meet I'm never going to meet. There are people that you can relate to that I'm going to clash with, that I just don't connect with. You connect with them. You need to use those, leverage what God has given you into your hands for discipleship opportunities. With God's help, you can do this. We're talking about parents discipling children, husbands discipling their wives, wives sharpening their husband, older mentoring younger, younger sharpening older. You want a church member touching an unbeliever at home or outside the home, at church and away from church. Maybe you're discipling your parents now. I mean, you're in that awkward stage where you have to shepherd them, and you're caring for them. Cornerstone should be a web of discipling relationships. You look at the church and you see all this interaction touching each other. It's not clear cut all the time. You can't just draw lines, this person, not like a flow chart. It's just like a web. I mean, everything going in and out, and it'll look different for every believer. One thing to be aware of, you cannot gauge how you're doing according to somebody else, right? I fell into this trap early on when I was studying this. There was a man in our church who is a master at building discipling relationships. I mean, he is gifted. He worked hard. He built up his own business. He sold it, retired at a relatively early age, like early 50s. And he works when he wants to, okay? And he basically spends the rest of his time devoted to discipling relationships. And he is always meeting other men. He's always having conversations. He's always going to breakfast and lunch with people. He's always counseling and dropping everything at a moment's notice. And I was discouraged about that. I was saying, I was using him as a gauge. I don't have that flexibility. I've got a young family. It takes a lot of time. I've got a lot of responsibilities. I can't just drop everything and go do that. And we talked about that. And he lovingly rebuked me. He said, your stage of life is different than my stage of life. And the important thing is that you're always looking for the opportunities God has put in your path. They're going to be different than me. Okay, so whatever stage of life you're in, it's going to change. Don't compare yourself with others. Just ask God to help you keep your spiritual antenna up. That's what this is. All right, what God, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to disciple? How do you want me to give your word to other people in a loving way? How do you want me to engage them? That's what God wants. Discipleship should happen along the way. Now, I want to give you some examples then to prompt your thinking. Okay, these are just ideas. And maybe if one of these catches your ear, you can write it down. Just jot some ideas. Get it flowing of how this looks like in everyday life. And I'm going to try to hit a smattering of places and of life stages. All right, so what about home? How does this look like at home? Here you got a dad who works all day in an office. But when he comes home, he is ready to engage his kids. He's not looking to sit down on the couch and relax. He is ready to interact with them to build those relationships. He intentionally disciples his wife. He gives her top priority. He tries to correct her thinking if she's been off base in something. He's trying to look for opportunities to show love in a tangible way, but to give the word in that loving setting. He looks for opportunities to spend time with his family instead of looking for opportunities to be away from them. He is leading his family in worship. He gets creative about teaching spiritual lessons and how to engage his kids in their different stages of understanding. He's willing to interrupt his yard projects to talk to his neighbors, right? Those aren't the most important things. The people are more important, so he stops. He invites a young couple over for fellowship and prayer. He initiates that after the kids are in bed. That's discipleship. It can be discipleship as you're ministering the word. You've got a young mom with two small kids. Her primary discipling relationship should be with her children. By the way, that doesn't automatically happen, right? It's very possible just to exist in the mothering stage and not be intentionally giving the word to your kids. But she does that intentionally. But she doesn't limit her discipleship vision to just her kids. That would be too narrow. So she teaches a Sunday school class. She uses the phone to counsel a discouraged friend when she's doing some of the household things. She starts a relationship with a mom that she meets at soccer practice while she's waiting. She meets with a younger woman to pray and talk about the Bible. She maybe has a Bible study, participates in a Bible study. She speaks the loving truth to her neighbor out in the yard. She singles out somebody at church to encourage each week, every time she sees them, to give them a word of encouragement from God's truth. She uses her home to showcase Christ. That's discipleship, right? How about a retired couple? They go out of their way to spend time with their grandkids, not just to spoil them, right? And not to usurp the parents' authority, but to help them disciple them. They look for opportunities to take them away for a spiritual time. And that helps the parents, too, because then they have time together. You're helping them disciple each other. You write encouraging notes to people in the church. You make phone calls to people who are struggling. You visit some of the people who are sick or shut in. You're using your flexibility to engage people more and inviting people into your home as well. How about teens? Teens should be disciple-making disciples as well. I would encourage you to invite the input of a spiritual person you look up to. All right, go to them and say, hey, I want to be like you. How can I do that? Help me. Help me learn. You know what? That is rare. You don't find a lot of teens who are willing to do that, to say that. Say, hey, I want you to mentor me. Help me in this. All right. How about letting your parents disciple you? Okay. Instead of holding them at arm's length and keeping them out, instead say, you know what? God has put you in my life and I want to learn from you while I'm in the home. Writing notes of encouragement to those who serve you. Looking for opportunities to minister the word to your peers. You realize that's discipleship? And in fact, the teens have an opportunity to influence their peers even more than an adult many times. How loud does it speak when a teen speaks the word to his friends? How about young people? Let me encourage you to do this. Choose one younger kid in your youth group or in your church and say, I'm going to encourage them spiritually. You know what? They look up to you. They want to be like you. That's an opportunity for discipleship. Okay, we could go on and on, right, at home. This is a huge opportunity for us. How about at work? It's being open about sharing your faith. It's cultivating the reputation for being honest and a hard worker so that you have a strong testimony and you stand for right even when it costs you something. Right? Even when your coworkers are mocking you, they see a difference so that when the trials come and when things happen in their lives, they're looking to go to you because they know you have the answers. You're different. Right? It's responding to trials and difficulties in a godly way and then telling people why. Here's why God, I was able to do this, because of God. Maybe it's using your lunch hour for spiritual conversation with a peer. It's maybe counseling somebody in that time. Maybe it's starting a Bible study once a week at your workplace. It's taking opportunities with customers to speak the truth. It's taking time to talk to them instead of rushing on to your next agenda item. It's saying, hey, that's a person. Yes, they're in business, but they're a person and they have needs. That's discipling. How about at church? It starts by being there faithfully, right? Because you want to be, not because I have to be. I want to be here. It's coming in with a mindset of who can I minister to today? How can I encourage someone today? I heard a guy say one time, when I come into church on Sunday, I'm always asking the question, how can I use my spiritual gift today? I'm not going to leave today until I use my spiritual gift in this setting. It's not coming in and sitting down right away, right? It's not coming in and claiming my favorite spot. It's coming in and then walking around and engaging people. It's asking questions. Hey, what's going on in your life? How's your week been? Tell me what you've been learning, right? That can happen before, after, in between, even our services. It's asking good questions. Sharing a word of testimony to strengthen the faith of others. When you have opportunity, it's speaking out in your small group studies. Not dominating, but transparently opening up and sharing. Here's what God's showing me. Right? That's God using you to speak the word in the lives of others. How about greeting visitors instead of hanging with your peer group all the time, the ones you like being with, actually branching out and engaging somebody who's new? That can be discipleship. All right, how about out and about? It's using your hobbies to build relationships with lost people. All right, I mentioned some things that could be hindering from discipleship, but you know what? Hunting, golfing, shopping, those can be used for discipleship, right? You can actually engage in word-centered conversation. It doesn't always happen, but it can if you're focused on that. All right, go out to lunch with a group of men or ladies with the purpose of talking about spiritual things, going to the same bank teller or the same hairstylist or the same checkout person or the same waitress and building a relationship with them, doing that intentionally, looking to reach out to them. It's taking opportunities at the kids' ball games to speak to the parents, and on it goes. I mean, this is just a few thoughts, all right? This is what it means to make discipleship a way of life. It's using the everyday opportunities that God has given you, all right? It's not just meeting with somebody every week, although that can be discipleship. That can happen, but it's using what God gives you into your hands. Here's what Marshall and Payne say. Disciple-making, then, refers to a massive range of relationships and conversations and activities. Everything from preaching a sermon to teaching a Sunday school class, from chatting over the back fence with a non-believing, non-Christian neighbor, to writing an encouraging note to a Christian friend, from inviting a family member to hear the gospel at a church event, to meeting one-on-one for Bible study with a fellow Christian, from reading your Bible to your children, to making a Christian comment over morning break at work. All right, that's all discipleship. I wish I could speak to every type of person here. To sit down and talk about it in your stage. The Christian school teacher, the public school teacher, college professor, self-employed business person, an accountant, a mechanic, a doctor, stay-at-home, I mean, you name it, single, married, retiree, all these different categories. I can't do that. But what I can do is just say, you've got the Holy Spirit. He wants you to disciple. So get intentional about how to do it. And I would encourage every person here to ask this question. How can I be a disciple-making disciple in my current stage of life? You know what's going to happen? Your current stage of life is going to change. As soon as you get used to one thing, Something's going to change. So that's why this has to be a constant burden that is in your heart. You don't have to feel guilty that you can't do as much as somebody else right now. It's important to make it a way of life. All right? I don't enjoy running. Anybody else say that? Okay. I run when I can, but I don't enjoy it. But why do I do it? Because it's the least time-consuming option for exercise, right? And it's been tough for me to get into a routine this fall. There's just been a lot of stuff going on. But if exercise is a way of life for me, then I'm gonna make it work, right? I'm gonna fit it in. I'm gonna figure out how to do it because it's an outlook. Because I know heart disease runs in my family. I want to live long enough to see my kids graduate from college. So I'm going to try to do this because I know it's important. And that's really the idea here of being a discipleship-minded person. If something doesn't work out with one person, then I'm going to look for another person. If it doesn't work out in this way, then I'm going to look for another way. It's being driven to be this kind of person. It's that way of life. And you can't force that. Right? There's nothing I can say, there's nothing pastor could say that'll make you that way. Really what has to happen is God works in your heart and you develop this driving burden and passion to be a disciple-making disciple. That's really what God wants for all of us. What I want to do in the rest of our time here, we've got about 30 minutes left intentionally, is we're going to do some work with this. Because I know when I sit in a session or several running sessions, at the end of it, I'm just like, oh, man, too much info. I don't know what to do with this. So we're going to try to work with it a little bit. So what I'm going to ask you to do here in just a minute is to get in groups of three maximum, maybe four, okay, three or four maximum. And I want you to try to find a peer, okay, somebody that's in pretty much the same life stage as you. Now, it's really fun to do this with different life stages. They can add different insight. But I want to, for the sake of time, we're going to try to do that with groups who are in your general life stage. Now, you can have pretty broad categories for that, all right? And what we're going to do is spread out around the room. You can move the chairs, circle up. You can get up on the balcony, okay? You can get on the stairs. Don't leave the room, though, okay? Don't wander off and go to Cool Beans or something. But just stay in this area and circle up. And I've got a series of questions on the next page. In fact, it's the very last page in your notes there. It's called Evaluating My Personal Commitment to Discipleship. And what we're going to do is some discipling sharpening here with peers in your own life stage. And I want you to work through these questions. Now, you're going to have to keep moving for the sake of time, but it can be a start. Don't spend a lot of time in that first question. It's just establishing we're all on the same page. What stage of life are we in? Then move on to the heart of the questions. And I'll try to keep us moving along, make sure we're all there. But don't spend a whole lot of time finding just the right group, okay? Just get up, find somebody near you, spread out, and we'll help you if you have trouble finding. Let's move and then get right into it.